Let's go to the Word of the Lord this morning in a Bible study. Sunday school is studying, and we're going to study from Ecclesiastes 11 and 3. Perhaps there's no better book to study from than Ecclesiastes, because this is a man that had it all, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and writes to us some very wise words this morning. Ecclesiastes 11 and 3. Bear with me as I read about six or seven verses. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. I want to focus really on one particular part that it says in the fifth verse, and thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh or develop it all. And I want to talk to you from this title simply this morning, The Developer. The Developer. Lord, I come before you this morning. Help us this morning, those that are here, to open their ears to hear the word of the Lord. Let me, as this minister, articulate the word of the Lord as you give it to me, to where it can be understood and applied to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Good to have with Brother Theo this morning, his daughter, amen, her two children, and Scott, Tara and her two children, and Scott. We're so glad that y'all are with us this morning. Now, we have Sunday school if they want to go to Sunday school. If they want to go, if they don't, that's okay. They won't sit by mom. They don't know. They won't stay by mom. This is the she said, I'm going to go to Sunday school. Yeah, well, that's not uncommon. If she wants to go, somebody take her to Sunday school. You go, Sister Nakani, come take her. You'll have a wonderful time in Sunday school, and he'll wish he would have went. Later on, when you come out with all those toys and all of those presents and all that candy, you're going to wish you would have went. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have a good time. Amen. Worked for me. I would like to take just a few minutes. I hope I don't go over this morning, but if I could, I'm so proud to have Tara here this morning. If I could, I don't want to embarrass you, but I just got to say a little bit, because it goes along with my sermon about developing, how and why you're here. Because she's here because there was a church. That's why she's here. There was a church. There was a church that her father and her mother started attending, which was the church that my father pastored. And both Theo and Jackie, her mother, were not in the church or part of a church or going to church and didn't seem really to care much about God and church. But somehow God got a hold of not just one of them, but both of them's heart. And they both came to the knowledge of the truth and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, Jackie, her mother, had never had a child because she had a rare blood type disease. That the doctor said she cannot have a child, so they did a tubalectomy. Correct me if I'm wrong. And so after receiving the Holy Ghost, she felt like God had healed her. She goes back to my father and says, I feel like the Lord has healed me, and I want to have a baby. Is this okay? Yeah, I'm going to tell it anyway. It's okay. And so she goes back to the, we prayed for her. I was there. We anointed her with oil. We did what we always do that looks like it never works sometimes, you know. We did, but if it don't, you know, there was many widows and only went to one. There was many lepers, he went to one. So you may be the one. So we prayed, anointed her with oil, and she goes back to that doctor and she says, I want to be checked again to see if I can have a baby. The doctor checked her again and said, there is no reason why you can't have a baby. So hook me back up. And they reversed the tubalectomy, and just in a couple months, 3 months, something very, 2 months, a baby was conceived. And there she sits. That's what church can do for you. Had that couple not went to church, she wouldn't be here. Now, you saw those two kids go out? That's from grandpa and grandma going to church. Because they went to church, she has offsprings herself. So that's why I'm so excited that she's here, because I haven't seen her since she was just a little bitty baby. It's just wonderful to see her in her development. And that's what I want to talk about. Development means to bring things from one stage to a more advanced stage. You start with something that's a kind of a raw product. This pulpit, for example, it didn't start out a pulpit. Nobody went out and said, I'm going to go in the woods and find me a pulpit. You know, you'll look all your life and you'll never find it. It starts with a thought. For the things which are seen were not made from things which do appear. It started with a thought. And somebody had a thought to plant a tree. And they put a seed in the ground, not knowing that it would ever make a pulpit. But they put a seed in the ground. And somebody watered and nourished and kept the fire and the weed eaters away. And whatever would kill that tree, somehow those trees survived. And somebody had a vision one day, and they said, I'll take that log, and that log, because I want to make a pulpit. And so somebody's vision started to develop. It started with a seed, and now we have something solid to stand behind. And that's the way our development is. You don't know what it's going to be when it starts out. It was just going to be a seed and a tree. But here we have this in the pews you sit on because it was developed into this. It didn't start out that way. So thoughts are the most important things in development is what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Because you can never develop anything if you don't have a thought about it. Amen. And so some of you have worked in the medical field before and you know what a developer is. You know that an x-ray can be taken and it's developed in the dark, you know, and what it does, it brings out the unapparent to make it apparent so that you now can see what is on the film that has been in obscurity. It brings it to a new level to where now it's usable. Sometimes things, if they're not fully developed, they're not usable. Halfway developed is still not usable. It must reach completion to be usable. And God wants to bring every one of us to completion. He said, I have thoughts for you of a good end. Amen. And so it's the end that matters. If you quit somewhere along the way, we would have just had a log that the limbs would have been cut off, the bark would have been stripped. But I'm not going to preach behind that. You could have turned it into 2x4s and stood them up here. I'm not going to preach behind that. I want to preach behind something that is made for me. And God has things in development right now in your life that if you can just be patient, it will work. But if you try to snatch it out of God's hands before he's finished with it, then what will happen? It will never work. And you will get discontent with it and quit the process of development. Are you hearing me this morning? A subdivision, I've seen this field out here. There was nothing but cows out there for years and years and years. And somebody, it was for sale for a long, long time. And now when you pass by, some developer has a vision. And as we pass by week after week, you begin to see it develop. You saw dozers come out there. You saw them scrape the ground and a mountain of dirt came up. And you're like, what are y'all doing? This doesn't look right. You know, I'm not a developer, so I would have done it different. But this guy has a plan and he has a vision for that piece of property. And when he's through, it won't look anything like it used to look. Why? Because it developed into this. So that if you pass by and you never saw the raw product, you would say, look at these beautiful homes. That's a beautiful street. And the street lights are so pretty. This is such a wonderful subdivision. But you never know. It used to be a cow pasture. But because someone developed it and had a mind to develop it, they could look through the trees and through the mud and through the dirt and through the hours and through the sweat and through the payroll and through all of this and say, I can do this thing and come out ahead. He began to develop it. And God looks at you in the very much the same way as a raw product. You don't come to God and be developed. You don't just get in the church and say, hey, I'm ready to preach, or I'm ready to teach Sunday school, I'm ready to do this, I'm ready to win. No, you come in a raw state. You come needing Him. You come needing Him. But He develops you into where now He needs you. Because you become His hands and His eyes, and you become what He wants you to be. But He must develop you into that. And it is a process, processing. This thing went through a process to become what it is. And too many people are not patient with the process. And I've told you before, if you plant a seed in the ground, and I've done it many times, I've put a seed in the ground, and it says, we'll sprout in 7 days. Well, brother, if it ain't up in 7 days, I'm ready to think it's not coming up. I'm going to scratch it up. But so many times I thought it wasn't coming up, and I reached down there and I messed it up. I broke the little taproot. There was just fixed to be a little green shoot because I wasn't patient enough. Let me tell you, God's got plans for your life today, and I know you're in a hurry to get there. But I want to tell you, you've got to trust the process. Trust the process that God has. You need a developer in your life. Everybody needs a coach in their life. Everybody needs to follow somebody. You ever looked at somebody and you never even told them, but boy, I admire that man. I admire that guy. I'll tell you what, sometimes you can, I'll never forget, you can admire the wrong thing too, you know. And there was a guy, and I don't know much about gardening and all this kind of stuff, but there was a neighbor of mine down the street, an older man. And I just planted what he planted. I figured he knew what he was doing. And so he had some jasmine. Anybody know what jasmine is? The stuff that runs all the time. He planted some jasmine, and he had little trees in it and all that, and had jasmine run. He'd trim it and all that. So I planted me some jasmine. I went and got me some jasmine, and mine started running. I was so happy with it, and it was running. And it's green and everything. And so one day I saw him out in his yard. He got a weed eater and he cut it down to the ground. Down to the ground with his weed eater. So I said, well, he's smart. It's going to come out with new growth and it's going to be beautiful. So I went and got my weed eater. And I cut her down to the ground. Well, after a while, I kept watching his. It didn't come out. And neither did mine. It died. One day I passed by his house. I never met him before in my life. But he had a plant. I was interested in what it was. So I stopped and I talked to him. He was in his yard. I stopped and I talked to him. He said, oh, yeah, that's a such and such. He said, you can have some of that if you want to. And blah, blah, blah. We got to talking. I said, you know, I just followed what you did. I thought you knew what you were doing. I said, when you weed eated that, I said, you remember when you did that? He said, oh, yeah, that was the wrong thing to do. He said, I killed it. I said, I killed mine too. You've got to be careful who develops you. They need to be proven. The Bible says to know those that labor among you. He was just somebody down the road. I didn't know he didn't know what he was doing either. Just because you're old don't mean you know what you're doing. Amen. But people need to understand that you need somebody to help you mature. You need somebody that was spend some time developing you into what you need to be. And once the developer is finished, then you will forget what you used to be. And they will forget, and people may not forget, but you can get behind you the cow pasture you used to be, the person you used to be, what they used to do with you and what they used to not do with you, because now you're usable to Him and you're usable to the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what this was supposed to have been in somebody else's mind. It's what it is today, and it's usable. So God is a developer. When God looked upon the earth, the Bible said that it was void and it was empty and darkness was upon the face of the deep and it was covered with water. And God said, I can turn this into a place where a man can live. I can turn this into a place and put a creation on it that will worship me. So He began to develop it. And the first thing He did was said, let there be light. That's the first thing that happened to you too when you come to Christ. He turned the light on. While x-rays develop in the dark, you develop in the light. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And He began to develop. And He called the evening and the morning the first day. And the next day He said, let's develop it a little further. So He said, let's divide the waters from the waters. And the waters separated. And He called a firmament above and the earth beneath. And He called that the second day. And we go to the third day and the fourth day and the fifth day and the sixth day. He puts man upon the earth because it had been developed. He couldn't have put man there the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day. But on the sixth day, He said, it's ready for man. And He put him there. God will never use you until you're developed. He doesn't bring you into a place where you're going to fail. It's us that gets ahead of Him. Oh, my God. God takes people. And He does the same thing with them. He takes an empty life, an void life, someone who is in darkness, someone who He sees you crying at night because you have no one to turn to. He sees that and He says, this is someone I can develop. This is someone that I can turn into something to use in my kingdom. And so when we look at the scriptures that I've brought to you from Solomon, this wise, wise man and rich, rich man, he lived and did everything possible there was under the sun. And when he got through, he called it vanity. I mean, he had it all. And he said, it didn't really matter that I had it all. Because in the end, that's what matters, to fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And so God never, listen close, although he had wisdom and although he had riches untold, he never fully developed. He loved many strange wives, the Bible says, toward the end of his life. He never developed into the man that he could have been. I don't want to teach and to preach to people, men and women, that never develop into the Christian that they can be. My job is to challenge you to be, as they say in the army, I think it is, to be the best that you can be. Because God wants to bring out of you your very best. Amen. And so Solomon writes this passage of scripture that I'm reading to you this morning. And he talks about the clouds and how when they are full of rain, then they empty. And so when you look at the process of rain, it is a process of development. It is a process of heat and rising vapors, and it turns into a cloud that's called usually a cumulus cloud because it accumulates, and it begins to hold some moisture till finally, he said, it's developed, and it rains. And then he talks about a tree, and a tree doesn't start out a tree. A tree starts out a seed, and he said, but it develops into a tree, and when the tree falls, so shall it lie, because it is over. But unless if it has seeds, if it has offspring, then it lives again through its seeds. Amen. And so he uses a tree, and he uses the clouds, and he talks about development. And then we look at planting a seed. He says, if you plant a seed, and you'll get a harvest, but if you don't sow the seed, you get nothing. You get nothing. It's void. And so many times we find excuses why we can't sow the seed. The wind's blowing today. The wind is the enemy of the sower. Because they would broadcast their seed. And I've broadcast seed before, like the little ryegrass seed. You throw it this way and it goes that way. And where I want to get it, I can't get it. So I stand over here to get it over there. I just got to deal with it. You hear what I'm trying to say? I just got to deal with it. So if I got to stand over here to get it over there, that's what I'm going to do. Because if I say, well, it's too windy today, if I throw it here, it's going to go over there, so there's no need for me to throw it, it won't get done. It will never get planted. You've just got to adjust to things that happen in life. This developer may hit a line. He may hit an old tank out there. He may hit some iron. He may hit Noah's Ark. I don't know what he's going to hit, but he may hit something out there, and he says, I didn't plan on that. Oh, stop the development. Stop. I'm through. I quit. No, he deals with it. He deals with it. And that's what you have to do, because if you don't deal with things that you come across in your life, you will never fully develop the thing. Never fully develop it. So he says, he warns the sower, don't pay any regard to the wind. And he warned the reaper, because the reaper's enemy is the rain. And, you know, if you've seen rice, when it comes to a head out there, they want it really dry so they can get out there. But my daddy used to tell me, son, I got to beat the rain. I'm going to go out there and pull my fruit. I'm going to beat the rain. If you raise a lot of fruit, then you know that if it rains too much at the time it gets ripe, it spoils the fruit. It splits open and it's no good. I'm here to tell you, you've got to beat the thing. You've got to beat the rain. You've got to be ahead of the thing. Because if you don't, what will happen? You will never sow your seed. You will never reap a harvest. And you will never develop into anything that's usable in the kingdom of God. Amen. Are you still with me this morning? I wrote a little note. It's worth writing, Sister Rainey. I'll write this down. Not that you need it, but I know you got a pen handy. The best way to predict the future, I'm going to tell you, the best way to predict the future is to create it. That's noteworthy. The best way to predict the future is to create it. I'm going to plant a tree, and that tree will become this pulpit. I'm going to take care of this tree. I'm going to protect this tree because I want this tree to become that pulpit. I can predict this tree will become that pulpit because I created it. Oh, you know, this is, you understand? If you want your life to be predictable, create it. Create it. Create it. Create an atmosphere that lends itself to become what you want to be. But if you hang around losers, you'll be a loser. You hang around people that can develop you, then they will develop you. Let me tell you, everybody needs an Elijah in their life. Elisha would have never been the man with the double portion if Elijah had not developed him. Because he would have been plowing as an old man. He would have been out there still plowing behind a dumb thing, following that ox and going around and going around and going around. But here come a man that wanted to develop that man. The God said, you take and go find one called Elisha. He's out there plowing in the field. He could have said, well, Lord, he don't look like he could be anything. But if God says I can use him, then no man can stop it. If God says you can be something, no man can stop it. For whatever God opens a door, no man can shut it. And when God shuts a door, no man can open it. And he goes by and he takes his mantle and he just throws it over Elisha as he was plowing. I can see. Woo! Man, something happened to me. There's something going on inside of me. And he all of a sudden had a desire to be something that man was. Let me tell you something. Nobody can develop you unless they're developed themselves. Too many people are talking to the wrong people that never developed a great life themselves and getting advice from them. And they're not developed either. They can't help you. But Elijah was experienced. He was a man of God, used of God. And he told this young man, he said, what have I to do with thee? I'm headed this way. He said, hold on. Let me go back and tell my mom, kiss my mom and my dad, and I'll be back. And the Bible says that he took the oxen and the asses that he had, and he slew them, and they ate them. And he used the harnesses and the things to stir the pot. What he was saying is, I won't be back. I won't be back. This man has tapped into something that develops me. I want to be what he is. And so as they traveled, he said, why are you following me so close? I'm going across the Jordan and you stay over here. He said, I won't leave thee. I'm never going to forsake thee. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Well, I'm going to Walmart. I'll be right back. Just stay here. No, I'm going to Walmart with you. I'm going to Toys R Us. I'll be right back. I'm going with you. He wanted to be developed. See, I'm trying to make people be developed. I'm trying to make you become what God wants you to be. He wanted to be developed. And he followed so close that Elijah barked at him and said, what do you want? You follow me. I can't do anything without you being right here. He said, I want a double portion of what you are. Lord, he said, you've asked a hard thing. Man, you know who I am and what I've done. I've called fire down out of heaven and killed prophets of Baal. I've done all these things. You know what you're asking? You ask a hard thing. Nevertheless. Woo, hallelujah. Nevertheless, if you see me when I go, it shall be so. Honey, he didn't let that old man out of his sight. And when Elijah went up in a whirlwind, guess what fell down? The mantle that first touched him. He said, I'm developed. And he picked that mantle up and he went back to the same Jordan they had crossed and he smote the waters. Says, where is the God of Elijah? Whew. And it was developed. And he was on his own now. Hallelujah. You're never fully developed, my brothers and sisters, until you can be on your own. Yeah. It was once said, you're never a man till your daddy dies. Because now you're on your own. You don't have a daddy to call and say, Daddy, how do you do this and how do you fix that? You've got to learn to deal with it. Woo, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Everybody needs somebody to develop them. Even Paul needed an Ananias, and you need somebody to develop you. Too many times people want to be developed, but they're touching the wrong thing. They're doing the wrong thing. And when you look at he, Solomon talks about being in the womb, right? Being in the womb. And that's the most critical time about development. See, that's what he compared this thing. He said, neither do you know the ways of the Spirit, nor do you know how the bones grow in the womb. The structure, the development in the womb. So that's why if a woman should not be, when she's carrying a child, should not be doing things with her body, taking things into her body that harms the development. And there's so many people that should be sitting here today that are not sitting here today because we lost them in the embryo stage. They never fully developed. Because sometimes it was the mama, the church, it was the somebody else, maybe the one that was trying to mentor you, whatever, did things that they shouldn't do, and it broke your confidence. It discouraged you from being fully developed. And you said, I abort the thing. I'm through. The most critical stage in planting a tree is the seed. And once the seed comes up, it's a sapling. And I'm here to tell you, and I've said it 100,000 times, a weed eater can kill a little tree. But when that tree is developed, and when it is a mighty oak, you can wear your weed eater out, honey. That oak's still gonna stand. It's developed. And we need to develop as Christians so that every little wind and every little thing and somebody said something, somebody did this, and this happened in the church, and that it doesn't cripple you so that you don't develop into what God wants you to be. Hallelujah. And so when you even look at Samson, the Bible talks about Samson, and he told first, we often miss this, he told first, he said to Manoah's wife, you shall drink no strong drink. You shall eat no unclean thing. Why? Because you're carrying Samson. And if you do those things, he won't develop right. Now, when Samson was born, the Lord talked to him. And he said, now you won't drink strong drink. You won't touch any dead thing. You won't eat any unclean thing. Why? Because you won't develop right. He disobeyed. You know how Samson's story ended. And so God wants us to develop as Christians and not be always dependent upon somebody else. But in the early goings, we all need each other. Can you say amen? I need you and you need me. We need to work together to develop a church, develop a body of Christ. And so he says, Ecclesiastes 11 and 9, it won't be much longer. In 11 and 9, he said, Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. In other words, the judgment is the result of what you did while you were young. I know, I don't have to get a show of hands. All of us did some stupid things when we were young. Stupid things. You know why you call them stupid now? Because you matured. Those that never matured don't call it stupid. They're still doing it. But you need to know that not to despise the days of your youth. Why? Because that was part of development. That was part of your development. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. Can't keep the past in the past. If God develops you into what he wants you to be, it won't matter. And put away evil from the flesh, for the childhood and the youth are vanity. And there's not a person here that's not done some foolish things. And you know what? Now it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It was part of your development. And so God has a way, my brothers and sisters, in closing, has a way of taking what you did as a youth and what you did wrong when you were younger. And somebody said, he erased it, and he doesn't. No. He blotted it out. There's a difference. You see, you got to keep remembering that was stupid. You got to keep remembering that underneath that is my stupidity. Underneath that is my foolishness. It says, and if they have that chapter, verse in Acts, we'll read it real quick. It says, repent ye therefore. Why? You did wrong. And be converted that your sins may be blotted out. You ever scratched out anything? You just scratched over. It's still there. It's still there, but you scratched over it. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so I'm thankful for the blotting effect of God's blood that covers me and you for our mistakes, even when I was young and even when I was older. God blots them out with his blood so that it now is like it never happened. But I know we need to always remember that God is developing us. Is developing us into the person that we need to be. Time has failed me, but the Bible talks about taking a thick cloud. He said, I will convert Jacob into Israel. Same man. How did he do it? He said, I'll take a thick cloud and I'll cover Jacob. A thick cloud and cover him and blot out his transgressions that he might become Israel. A developed man. God wants you to develop as a Christian, as a husband, as a wife, even as a child. He wants you to develop. And God will take the thick cloud we call the blood of Christ and cover you. Amen. Cover you and change you from the transgressor you once were to a saint of God. But you have to apply the blood. There was a lady one time that, I think her name was Bette Neesmith Graham. That was her name. Bette. She had a son named Michael Neesmith, and I'll look at you, that played in the 60s with the Monkees. Anybody remember a group called the Monkees? Okay, there was a group, and she had a son. And she worked for Texas Bank and Trust Company. She was a typist. This is way back. And she made a mistake in typing, so she didn't know how to cover it. So she went home and she made some concoction that she had, put it in a blender kind of thing, stirred it up, and it made a little white thing. And she went back with this little white paste and she put it over her mistake. and blotted it out. And so other coworkers said, "Where'd you get that stuff from? Make me some of that stuff." So she said, "Okay." So she began to make stuff, and it was called, it was called Mistake Out first. Before it was White Out, it was called Mistake Out. That's what the name of her little company was, Mistake Out. Well, she started her little company on the side. But one day, she made a mistake and put her company name, Mistake Out, and made a mistake, instead of Texas Bank and Trust, on a correspondence document. And she got fired. This is a true story. She got fired. So she said, "Well, I'll go full time with my Mistake Out." The bottom line is, it got bought out by Gillette Company for $40-something million, of which her son was the only heir to it, for $40-something million. And it was, they changed it to White Out, and then later to Liquid Paper. It did not take away the mistake. It covered the mistake. It covered it. It's still there. So that now we can read it and look at it like it's not there. Ooh, that's what the blood of Christ does. Hallelujah. That's what His grace is all about. It's about covering it. He doesn't take it away. Adam and Eve sinned. He didn't take it away. What did He do? He covered it. It was a mistake out. Hallelujah. And God wants to develop every one of you into being something usable in His kingdom. Let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take a quick break. We'll be back at 10:30 for morning worship.